Welcome back to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill, and today we're talking about the Stone Age. It's different periods, it's different tool types. This is going to be a nice, lots of dates, numbers. You probably heard a lot about this in school. I'm going to go a little deeper. If you're not someone who likes hearing about those things, skip to another episode. Something a bit more fun and wacky, a crazy mystery or a strange occurrence. But for those of you who love the Stone Age and want to hear about it, here we go. So it really, what we're distinctly talking about, though, is the Paleolithic and Neolithic periods when people used stone tools. And there weren't even people. I'm starting 3.3 million years ago with the Loma Keep site. And it's a site in Kenya where the oldest tools were found. And so that is the beginning point. Human beings weren't around back then as we know them now. Now, the next big period was 2.6 million years ago to 1.7 million years ago. And that's the Oldowan period, when early humans created these stone tools. And what they are is they look like a normal stone someone hit with a rock to make a big chunk come out, not carefully chipped away like flint knapping. That's a big difference. There's a difference between a child doing something and an adult skill-wise. Now, modern flint knapping is taking a piece of stone, preferably flint or obsidian, they're the best. You do hit it at an angle, at a core. A piece of the core comes off. You take that piece and you carefully take antler or stone and rub away at it, chip away at it until it's razor sharp. How razor sharp? Obsidian knives are actually sharper than steel knives. In fact, a human hair is called 100 microns. An obsidian knife can be as sharp as 1 micron. How? I'm not sure, but I do know that's true. I double-checked it. So this is happening 2.5 million to 1.7 million ago, where you have these big, chunky, they look like a rock with pieces chopped off irregularly. And the average blade was about 2 inches long. And this was before Homo erectus. So that was the first human to walk upright, for those of you who don't remember your class. So this is basically monkeys doing this that crouched on the ground. The next big period was, I'm going to try and say this correctly, the Alcuin period. Now, what's important about the Alcuin period, and it's a French word because they found these guys in France, is it is mostly associated with what we were talking before, Homo erectus. And Homo heidelbergus, no, they didn't make meth. And these look a lot more like common stone knives. They had a blade of 8 inches or so. They were often pear-shaped. And they included hand axes. Hand axes didn't really exist. This is when hand axes were actually invented. And they were a lot more specialized tools. In the Oldowan period, you had pounders, scrapers, cutters. Whereas now we have, adzes, things like that. And this is when our first true hunter-gatherer ancestors started to take place. And they also began to migrate out of Africa in large numbers. And they had a brain size of 100 centimeters. I don't really know what that means. Bigger than before. And it wasn't until 230,000 years ago that Neanderthals arrived. Now, the Neanderthals, you don't know, they're the humans just before us. And they look like the stereotypical cavemen. Big eye, they look human, but they have big noses, furry eyebrow ridges. And then 195 years ago, that's when we got there. Homo sapiens. And after we arrived, a new tool period began. It's called Maustrian. And it's commonly used by those Neanderthals. And they were very more carefully made. This is when flint knapping with antlers took over, where they were carefully tapping these things out. This is, they didn't really know how to make fire the way we do, with friction, bows, and things like that, they kept fire in pouches, embers burning, and they had to keep the pouches burning by feeding it tinder. Now, for those of you who don't know, tinder is bark, little bits of wood that easily catch fire. And it's very important to feed the small fire that grows into a bonfire. So every time they had to move from cave to cave or moving around, someone important had to carry that around. There's a pretty good book about this. It's very violent, very mature, but it's a good book. The author did a lot of research. It's called Clan of the Cave Bear, in which she fictionally details life in that time period very well. It does have some flaws. For instance, one of the characters, they get in trouble for being a female hunter. But we know now that many hunting injuries are found on women. So things are a bit more egalitarian in some tribes. I'm sure in many other tribes, things weren't. But Homo sapiens learned how to make fire themselves. The big difference. Back to the next big period, which was 43,000 to 26,000 years ago. I'm now going to butcher this pronunciation, the Argonation period, which was the first time human beings really went into Europe and Asia. And they, were those stereotypical hunter-gatherers, things like that. And then 96,000 years ago, the Mesolithic period begins. Humans are in the more stereotypical Stone Age. The Ice Age ended. And there were nomadic hunters and gatherers fighting to survive. This is when it really begins. And they would go for days without eating food, sheltering from who knows what megafauna and hide tents in caves. Imagine, I want you really to imagine. Imagine it's 9,500 years ago. It's night at a dark, thick forest. You and yours are hovering around a blazing fire. Wild animals are creeping around your campsite. Their eyes are glowing from the precious campfire. Around you are a few other large blazes, your family and your tribe. All around you. Next to you is a small knife of chipped stone. It's only 4 inches long. Your spear is long, about 8 feet, and made of ashwood and flint. Its blade is smaller than your hand. Your weapons are not much against the saber-toothed tigers that prowl and steal your children at night, the wolves that kill your dogs and steal your hunting kills, and the massive, short-faced bear that can kill whole clans. A disease could sweep through your tribe and kill everyone you know in days. All your songs, dances, and stories lost forever. It's been 3 days without food. Today, you and the other hunters drew a picture of a woolly rhino in the sacred cave. So maybe the spirits will bless you with a good kill. All around you, your world writhes with spirits, gods, and they have to be appeased. These thoughts are on your mind. You get even hungrier. One by one, all of your families and clans that live with you go to sleep. And you get into your furs and pray for one thing only. Food. That's the world they lived in. Now, I don't really get into deep science and things like that on the podcast unless it's directly related to history. But consistently when I study history and human biology, I find that we are Stone Age animals living in a space age. And that's not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. It's just something to keep in mind when you're living your life. You don't need this podcast, but you do need exercise, because thousands of years ago, if you were hunting and healthy, that was a lot of exercise. Your body is designed to chase. animals and find food and be around companions all day and all night. So that is what life was like back then, but something even crazier was happening. While the most technologically advanced thing people had was a bow and arrow, which was made to kill people, by the way, not really made to kill animals. We first see the bow and those small arrowheads in the human record when resource scarcity becomes a thing and people are fighting over good hunting lands. So there's this place called Göbekli Tepe. Some of you have heard about it, some of you haven't. It's a 10,000-year-old stone ruin when there were no stone ruins. People didn't know how to make things like the Egyptians and the Mesopotamians at the time. It makes no sense. Göbekli Tepe is a massive stone structure that's about 10,000 years old in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And many of its great pillars and rooms and things seem to be astronomical in origin, as if people were trying to keep track of the heavens. Whereas, and it just doesn't make any sense, that how could these nomadic tribes build this like this? This goes against the abilities at the time. Now, I've said on this podcast, Stone Age people who are living with Stone Age technology, can do wondrous things. There's Chaco Canyon. There's dozens of other examples. But this is so astoundingly before that, and was even stranger, is that while this was being completed, or after it was completed, a meteor struck the area, wiping out whatever small civilization could have been living there and creating it. It's a deep mystery. It's still being discussed. I'm sure there's dozens of crazy theories that I should probably be ranting and screaming about, but I'm not going to, because I rant and scream enough already. And that leads us, that first stone attempt at building something that lasts, will bring us to a different time period. The Neolithic, when the first farming society is about 6,000 years ago. And it's quite simple. People figured out, if I plant vegetables will grow. If I do it consistently, they'll keep growing and I'll always have a food source, as opposed to hunting and gathering. And I don't know when over let wine ferment. I should probably look into that, seeing how this is a wine podcast, but I want to thank them deeply. I also want to thank Cruz Alta for their Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon. This is a very, very good one. Lots of coffee and oak. And it's from Mendoza, Argentina. This is the 2019. There is a lot of tannins in it. I do taste coffee. I tasted pepper originally, but now that it's, I let it breathe, that went away. Weird how that happens sometimes. So before I get on to the Neolithic, ranting and raving about that, I'm going to taste some of this. I definitely taste coffee. and fruit. The pepper taste I tasted originally was gone. The mouthfeel is, and texture is, yeah, it's okay. I'm not trying to sound pretentious. I'm just trying to describe to you so you can make informed decisions. And I also need to start listing the wines in the description and links to them because I'm a goof. If you haven't figured this out from the 50 other conversations I've had, I'm a bit of a goofy guy who loves wine and history. Go figure. That's actually my favorite part of drinking red wine, is trying to taste the fruit. What fruit did they put in here? This is aged for in 10 months in 50% new barrels, and then 100% red oak. This is imported by Saranti Imports in Stamford, Connecticut. Cruz Alta. Quite good. I definitely recommend it if you like Cabernets. I definitely recommend it if you like Argentinian reds. It is very satisfying taste. As for alcohol content, it is 13.5% by volume, if that matters to you. If it's been a long day, you know it matters to me sometimes. So I'm going to try it one more time. Yeah, I can't taste which fruit. Back to the history. So this is when when these farming societies started, this is when the first pottery begins, first permanent housing. People started putting plaster on their walls, things like that. And it's when the first wars started. Because people realized some soil was better than others. And if I'm hungry, because I have bad soil, and they have good soil, and I don't want my kids to starve, I'm going to kill them and take it from them. Now I have two villages that I'm the chief of. Why don't I make it a third? And a fourth, and this is how chiefdoms began. That's slowly how kings began. And lords and that whole strata. And it is absolutely fascinating how after, you know, you start 3.3 million years ago, monkeys slamming rocks together to make something useful to the beginning of modern society. Took a long time. Took a longer time for me to talk about. But it's a very, very important journey. Thank you guys so much for listening. I know I took a bit of a hiatus. It's just because chaos, utter chaos, you know how it is. It takes over sometimes. But jumping into a good book about history, it's really worth it. So I do recommend this wine. I also recommend that book, Clan of the Cave Bear, if you want to learn more about this period. And it's long-winded because you did a ton of research, but it is a very good book for people who want to know about this time period. Thank you all so much for listening. And remember, without history, we wouldn't be here.